Welcome to Nintendo Dads, episode 136, recorded live on July 5th, 2017. On tonight's episode, we talk about the Splatoon 2 Direct, Nintendo saying the SNES Classic is a form of virtual console, Blaster Master has new DLC, and so does Zelda, and so much more. Join us now on this wild, wonderful thing we call a podcast. Zach, cue the music.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Dads Podcast. My name is Zach Erickson, and tonight is July 5th, 2017. Joining me tonight is the man from VGTribune.com, Jesse Waldeck. What's going on tonight, Jesse?
Pretty good. It still throws me off being the first fill when Justin isn't here. I'm just not used to that yet.
Yeah. You know, I noticed that Justin only shows up when there's big news to talk about. He's not willing to, like stick it through and carry when things are not. Anyway, speaking of sticking it through, joining us as well from the land of the south, Mr. Marty Estes. What's going on, Marty?
Well, I am worn out and tired today because I was up late last night celebrating America.
Nice. Right on. We in Canada, we do that. We had a head start. July 1st is when we do our fireworks. Although up here, we don't do fireworks because they're much more regulated because there must have been like one too many farmers' fields that got lit on fire, and then they were like, enough, no more. You have to have a special license to do this now. I don't know.
I'm sure. Well, I mean, there's nothing like giant fireworks displays to show that you are quite possibly the greatest country that's ever existed on the face of the planet. Mm. Or at least that's what we say.
Yeah.
I mean, it's up for debate.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, if there's one thing, I know there is a big motion to make America great again. So that must be count for something.
That's picking up some momentum around here.
Yeah, I mean. I've heard that. That's a thing. Speaking of things, Jesse, do you want to add a certain sir to the call? He's messaging me right now. He is now. Oh, he was waiting on a Hangouts link. All right. Anyways,
Hangouts.
I don't know.
Does he think this is the first time he's been on the show?
While you're doing that, I'm gonna hit a bumper, or maybe I can add him to this call. You know what? This is.
I push the add button.
Here he is. Is he coming? We still got music. This is like the equivalent of fashionably late to the party.
Entertaining live radio.
Is this?
We'll do it live.
Does this mean it's ringing? What's going on?
There he is.
Is this working?
Now it is. It should be.
Hey, there he is. This, ladies and gentlemen, Roger's bass added to the show.
Hey.
Fashionably late. We still got the intro music going even, so you're good. What's going on, dude?
Very good. No, I'm just hanging out with you guys. This is perfect. Worked out literally perfect for me because this is right in between Anime Expo and Gorno Orlando with Josh. So, yeah, it's great.
Nice. Well, hey, man, we old farts over here have, like, stuff. So our apologies. We got started without you.
No problem.
But we're going to head straight into the news, and let's get into it.
Cool.
And, of course, the news is brought to you by patreon.com/NintendoDads for all of you over there. By the way, if you guys were giving away a bunch of sweet Nintendo Dads swag stuff, so head over to Patreon, and you'll find a page there that has a link to the thing where you can, you know, share the Nintendo Dads love and get some Nintendo Dads swag. But huge thanks to our Patreon supporters. You guys are amazing. And, yeah, that's that. Roger. How you doing, man? I feel like usually we like catch up before the show starts, and now I'm like, oh, we should just wait.
Yeah, no, I'm good. I mean, I've been going nonstop for the past couple weeks. I did E3, which is a lot of fun, which I'm sure I'll talk about in the show. Then had a bit of a break. Then Anime Expo this past weekend, which was also a lot of fun. And then I've got another week-long break, and then I'm off to Orlando with a regular guest of Nintendo Dads, Josh Thomas. We're going to go to Pandora at Walt Disney World, and then we're going to go to Volcano Bay, which is the new Universal Water Park. So got a lot of cool stuff coming up.
That's awesome. Right on. So, of course, you guys can go over to youtube.com/Rogers Base. Is that Is that where it is? That
Yeah.
You'll find all that jazz there. That's super cool. Or you also might see him on like the Nintendo Minute sort of stuff every once in a while. I don't know. That only happened once, right? But still.
That was only one. Well, technically twice, but yeah.
Yeah.
I was a main guest once.
Yes.
You did sneak up on another podcast that I listened to. Not a podcast, but a YouTube channel. Do you know Aki Dearest?
Of course I know Aki. Yeah, yeah. What about her?
She opened up her box of stuff, and in there was a card with your channel in it.
Oh, the featured YouTuber thing from Aki Bento. I forgot that was this past one.
So I'm like, where aren't you? What?
No, I'm all over the place. I got to check Aki's video. I didn't even know. That explains why I had a little bit of a sub jump recently, because she's got a ton of subscribers.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Very cool. Right on. Well, welcome to the show, dude. It's nice to have you here.
Thank you.
And
always a pleasure to be on.
Absolutely. And I should reemphasize as well, guys, we are doing that contest now until whatever 2 weeks ago from yesterday was. Or the 4th.
18th?
Yeah, sure. That works. So go find that on our stuff and share links. And it's a Gleamio sort of contest. But so we're going to be giving away two Nintendo Dads swag bags. There's going to be a cool like tote bag and some stickers and stuff. And I've got a whole bunch of Nintendo loot that I've got just laying around waiting to be given away.
You're talking like people down here now.
I know, right?
I was gonna say, does grammar come with that?
It's because I was listening to S-Town again, Marty. That's why. So
get you every time.
So yeah, and then there's also going to be a grand prize mega swag box that is going to have everything that's in that swag bag, plus it's going to also have a free copy of Fire Emblem Echoes Shadows of Valentia, which was donated to us by a listener, as well as even more awesome stuff in there. So go over there, twitter.com/NintendoDads will also have a link there as well. So go check that out. The news this week, there wasn't really a whole lot of news. I mean, we really could have postponed the show till tomorrow, but life. And so we'll talk about the Splatoon Direct next week. But by the time you hear this, for the most part, there is a Splatoon Direct tomorrow morning. And do we know anything else about this? Like, do we know how long it's going to be yet? They haven't really said anything, right?
Yeah, they have.
It's like 25 minutes.
Okay. So
25 minutes, that's way more than I expected. I thought this is going to be like a 15-minute sort of trailer and then an overview of maybe some more single-player stuff.
The same amount of time that they gave to the entire E3.
I was going
to
say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's.
Well, I think they finally remembered that this game is coming out in like 2 weeks.
And they're like, "Oh crap, we haven't marketed this thing at all. What are we doing?"
That is pretty ridiculous that it's coming out this soon and that they haven't really been pushing it. I think it's because they know in Japan it's obviously going to be an enormous success.
Yeah.
Just because Splatoon has become such a massive franchise over there. Not to say it wasn't successful in North America, but it was just enormous in Japan. And I feel like, yeah, they probably feel, you know what, that's going to be the main push for them. We're still trying to get ARMS off the ground. ARMS is apparently doing really well, selling as much as Street Fighter V and Tekken in their first weeks combined in its first week, which is kind of cool. So, yeah, Nintendo's sort of riding high right now.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. Like I don't know. It looking at this, and I know like Josh Thomas has been pretty down on this game, looking like it. They're making some questionable choices that I've seen, at least that I've heard about, that like Salmon Run is only in a rotation with other game modes, which if that ends up being 100% confirmed tomorrow, I'm not down with that. Like that.
So sucks. Yeah, I could confirm that is indeed true because I played it at E3 and that's what the people demoing it told me.
That's so dumb.
That apparently Salmon Run, it's always playable online. Offline, always with friends. It's always playable. But if you're playing online, it's going to be in rotation, sort of like as an event. Because they don't want people sort of like, you know, busting up the ranks really early. And then basically saying, oh, we're the number one in Salmon Run or whatever, while they're still focusing on the main gameplay. I think the reason they're doing that is probably to get people to focus on like the actual Turf War type gameplay before moving on to stuff like Salmon Run. It is still a questionable decision. I'm not entirely sure why, but I think that's why. I think it's because they want to encourage people to play Turf War.
Yeah, I think as well, like maybe they haven't said this yet, but like, do they have the ability for online custom matches? Like, will you be able to do it that way?
That I don't know, and that they actually might announce tomorrow. I think the other thing, too, is you have to take into consideration, like, we had those Splatfest events that would last, like, a week or 2 weeks whenever they were in Splatoon, a couple days or whatever, and they'll probably start doing Splatfests with Splatoon 2 in addition to doing Salmon Run, so they might be, like, every other week. You might get, like, a Splatfest 1 week, a Salmon Run event 1 week, and Salmon Run has multiple modes, too. It's not just, like, the one mode we've seen.
A map, different maps, or what do you mean by different modes? Like,
okay, so there's like there was one that I played that was at E3 where you had to like pick up golden eggs.
Yeah, that was the one that they'd shown before. Yeah,
right. And then there was another one where you basically just take on hordes and hordes of enemies, and then like bosses would show up occasionally too. And it was basically like a survival mode.
Oh, okay, interesting. So hopefully there's like a queue that has like a co-op. Sort of like a co-op queue and a like a PvP queue or something like that online. Yeah. That would be cool.
I'm not sure.
That would be cool though. I don't know. So I'm not sure what to expect from this direct tomorrow. Like I'm hoping that they show more than like because usually this kind of direct they will show sort of like an overview of the entire game, right? Like this is like with ARMS, it will be. I'm guessing that they're basically just going to take that formula that they did with the ARMS Direct, where they literally just went through that opening menu and just walked you through every single mode in the game. Right. And that's my guess is that that's what this is going to be. It's going to be like an extended preview trailer type thing where they just explain the entire game. I don't know what else is going to, like, they'll probably give us more information on the single player mode and sort of the story, the beginning part of the story there. They teased it at, the one where they showed Callie?
Oh yeah, that was after the ARMS Direct. It was an ARMS Direct, and then they had a little bit of Splatoon at the end.
Yeah, that was Marie that was there, not Callie. Sorry, my mistake.
Yeah,
but yeah, so they so that would be, I don't know, that'll be interesting to see. I don't know,
getting your wife who's confused again.
Yeah, apparently, right? I don't know. So I don't know how I'm feeling about this. Like, having it be 2 weeks away, I feel like I should be more excited about this than I am. I don't know. Am I the only one? Like, how is everybody else feeling about this?
I'm really not excited about the game at this point. I mean, I like Splatoon. I think that it's a fantastic success for Nintendo. But I was saying this before we went on the air, that I would not have minded if this game had been August or September. Mm-hmm. Because I've really enjoyed ARMS and I'm still enjoying it, and I think it's still got a lot of momentum behind it.
Yeah.
And I'm not worried that Splatoon is going to take away from its momentum. I just think it's going to be hard to play both of them online. I mean, you know, I'm going to want to split my time. And so
not to mention exactly. Sorry, go ahead. Finish your.
No, I was just going to say I wouldn't have minded, you know, if it had been another month. Or even another month or two let them even roll some more features out when it first came out. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that was a big issue people had with the first Splatoon, was that it released with not a lot of content. Like, there were a few maps, and they had I don't even think like the ranked matches were in there when we first got Splatoon. I think it launched with like 8 maps or something like that.
And it only had the Turf War. That's all it launched with. Right. So,
yeah, it launched with Turf War and like 6 maps or 8 maps or however many. So, I mean, I could see it being a similar situation where they launch the main game and then over time start releasing new modes and start releasing new content for free, obviously. Maybe alongside paid DLC as well, but mostly for free. And they just continue on from there. I think this is my weird prediction. I have a very odd prediction, a very specific prediction of something that I think we're going to see. I think at the very end of the direct, especially if it's 25 minutes, I think at the very, very end of the direct, we're going to see a little shing, and we're going to see Inklings confirmed for Smash Brothers. And I think we're going to get the announcement of Smash Brothers on Switch. And the reason I say this, I have two reasons behind this. One is there was a rumor going around the show floor that Smash Brothers was ready to be revealed at the show, and that it was specifically held off because of ARMS, that they did not want Smash Brothers hype to cannibalize ARMS hype at E3.
And I think that's a smart idea.
I agree. And two, EVO is a week from now, and Nintendo is an official sponsor of EVO, and EVO is going to have Smash Brothers Melee and Smash Brothers for Wii U.
I do like how Nintendo has completely 180'd EVO over what they were 4 years ago.
Yes. Right.
I honestly
this whole big thing.
I honestly feel like that fiasco at Evo before was like some rogue lawyer in their legal department.
Yeah.
Who just went crazy. Like, because like event, they're all like, oh, wait a minute. No. And they backpedaled so hard on that.
Yeah. See, I'm totally on board with what Roger's saying here. Totally. Like that just made, you know, yes, that's all the good things. But I think what they need to do is stroll up in Evo like a boss and drop that trailer in the middle of it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I think the full reveal should absolutely be at Evo, but I think if they're going to tease Inklings and Smash now that ARMS has already been released, they don't really have to worry about it anymore. And they really want to get a lot of new eyes on this Splatoon Direct because you'll have to watch it in order to watch the trailer. I think it actually would be wise to put it at the end of this because it has been the worst kept secret in the industry since even the early Emily Rogers, Laura Kate Dale rumors. It was like one of the earliest rumors about the NX was that Switch was going to get a port of Smash Brothers.
Yeah, that's true.
And everybody knows it's happening. It's like a very obvious thing that's happening. And it was a very strange omission at E3. So if they do want to get a lot of eyes on it, I think this is the time to do it. If not, I think we probably won't see Smash Brothers until well into next year.
Yeah.
Right. I have some chat comments. Lucas is thinks that Inklings are a good idea for Smash, and he also wants to see an ARMS character in there.
That'd be cool.
And Phoenix says he wants to know more about the app as part of tomorrow's Direct.
Oh,
the voice acting map.
Yeah.
That's right. The app. I forgot about that.
Yeah, that probably is something.
I think we'll definitely see part of that. Like, I don't know, maybe not the full aspect of it, but I think they're going to say, oh, and you'll be able to voice chat with the app, which
I think Nintendo did say that they were going to put out a gimped version of the app initially, probably with the Splatoon, and then roll out a more fully featured version closer to when we start having to pay for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you're definitely going to see colored Joy-Cons tomorrow.
Oh,
yeah,
that'll
all be confirmed.
Oh, yeah, right. You're right about that. They had the pink and the green one. I actually think we might get that bundle that Japan has.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a bundle announcement and the Joy-Con. Because haven't they already given the release date for the Pro Controller?
I think they have. Yeah, I think it's the same day.
Yeah.
I think they already revealed that, but no news on the Joy-Con. So I think we'll get the Joy-Con. And I mean, I wouldn't rule out another Amiibo tomorrow either.
Hmm.
Well, they've already announced those ones, right? Like,
right. But,
do we know what they do yet?
Yeah, you can dress them up. Up with gear, and then you can import. You can bring them into your game and take pictures with them.
I hope there's something else because I loved the Amiibo challenges in the first game.
Yeah, me too. I still think that it's crazy that they aren't putting some line of like some sort of like Nintendo line of gear, so like you put in a Mario, not that you would have like actual Mario clothing in the game, but like Mario themed outfits, you know, kind of like almost like those what's the brand that just
Uniqlo. I mean they've done real world brands in Splatoon before. I would not be shocked if they're like, hey, we're gonna toss the whole Uniqlo line in Splatoon 2.
Yeah, and you
that would be amazing.
And then you scan like a Mario amiibo and you get one of those shirts or something like that, right? Or you get like a pair of like those Nintendo Vans shoes that were in there or whatever. Just like,
you guys know that the first DLC for it is going to be a Nintendo Switch shirt.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I'm sure. It has to be.
Yeah, exactly. So that's tomorrow. There's no sense spending any more time talking about this because it's by the time people hear it, it's going to be over. So anyway, next up we have that Nintendo has said that the Super NES Classic is a form of virtual console. They talked about sort of, releasing their old games, and they classified basically that this is a form of virtual console or retro game releases, which I think, you know, some people were reading this and saying like, oh, that's it. We're not getting virtual console. And I don't think that's what they said. That's definitely not what they said. But what they are saying, what this tells me is that they are very seriously rethinking how they package their retro catalog, I guess is how I would put it, right? And how I'm starting to think the days of the Wii and the Wii U and the 3DS virtual console as we know it are over. I don't think that's coming to Switch. Like, that's kind of the sense that I'm getting now, is that, and if it does come, I don't know. I'm starting to think that it's probably not going to come until we get the full Nintendo Online service or whatever, fully outlined with the Classics Collection library thing that they're talking about. I don't know. The Netflix, exactly. Yes. That's honestly how I feel, especially with the Super Nintendo Classic coming. That tells me Super Nintendo games will not be on the Switch for a good while. And then the NES Classic sort of, or we have the NES Retro Collection library thing for having Switch Online. So the Super Nintendo and the NES, part of me feels like both of those are off the table right now for a virtual console, which means that other stuff maybe will come, or maybe they'll repackage it, or they'll, I don't know. It's weird. What do you think, Roger? Like, how are you feeling about the future of virtual console in a SNES Classic world?
Man, I don't even know. I had this discussion with Josh a couple weeks ago when they announced it for the first time. And then I talked about it with the Game Explained guys as well, with Andre and the rest of them. I kind of feel like NES and Super NES, they've already been confirmed to come to Virtual Console via that. It's like that retro game service you already mentioned, where you have like multiplayer games that are going to be connected if you have the online service. But beyond that, I don't know. I'm kind of nervous. I'm nervous for what this means for Virtual Console on Switch, because to me, I think the next step after this is not going to be N64 Classic.
No.
What Andre brought up, and what I think it was Colin McIsaac brought up as well, was the idea of maybe like a Game Boy Classic, where they re-release a handheld, like an old Game Boy. It has a backlight, and it has all the Pokemon games and, you know, the Mario Land games and Wario Land and stuff like that packed in. And maybe has a link cable with it as well, so you could trade with other people. And the other idea that came from this is that, you know, we know that next year we are going to be getting, late next year, not anytime early next year, but late next year, we're going to be getting a mainline Pokemon game for Switch. I know they haven't announced an official date for that yet. There was that news that came out where they said, oh, Metroid Prime 4 and you know, Pokemon Switch, they're not going to be coming in 2018. We haven't officially said that yet. But I don't think there's been a holiday for the past 3-4 years where there hasn't been a mainline Pokemon game. And the one thing about that Pokemon game, and how I want to sort of tie this in with the virtual console discussion, is when Pokemon Sun and Moon were first released, do you remember what was released on virtual console the same day?
Red and Blue. No.
Right. It was not... Red, Blue, and Yellow. Yes.
Yeah,
and
when they were announced. With Ultra, right, Sun, when they were announced. Ultra. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
And then when Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon got announced, they announced that Gold and Silver are coming to Virtual Console on 3DS alongside that. So the thing that a lot of people are thinking is that maybe Pokemon Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon are going to have like Alolan forms of Johto-type Pokemon. Ah. Because all the Alolan forms in the original game were all Kanto Pokemon, which were directly tied to those remakes. And so the remakes were sort of your way of getting those Pokemon in the game.
Right.
And the idea that I've been hearing around a lot, and how I'm going to connect this to Virtual Console, is the idea of a mainline Pokemon game coming to Switch is a huge thing, because having a mainline Pokemon game on a home console is something they've never done before. And it's too early for a new generation. They're not going to make Gen 8? Gen 8. So they're not going to make Gen 8 next year. And I doubt they're going to make a remake next year as well, because they've never done a remake as the heralding in of a new generation. Even if it was on like an HDified engine of Sun and Moon, I really don't think that they would do that, because we did not see a remake during the Black and White days. Like, that remake came later on alongside X and Y is when we got Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire, which would have been the remake that would have gone with Gen 5. I know I'm getting way off of what we're talking about, but I do think this is important, so just stick with me, listeners, is the idea of that mainline Pokemon game for Switch potentially being a sequel title for the original Red, Blue, and Yellow is going to make a lot of sense. Because right now they have Pokemon Go, they have the Magikarp game, and all of these Pokemon games that they've been releasing that are riding high on the nostalgia factor of Gen 1. And what they could do, if they have already Red, Blue, Yellow, Gold, Silver on the virtual console for 3DS, what they could do next holiday is release alongside the release of potentially like a Red 2 or Blue 2 on Switch, a Game Boy Classic that includes all of the old Game Boy games. So you'll basically get a 1-2 punch with that nostalgia bomb. You'll get people who will buy the mainline Pokemon game, people who haven't had a Pokemon game in a long time. They'll get that. They'll be reminded and refreshed of Kanto and Johto for being in those regions, and then have those games on the Virtual Console within this Game Boy Classic. And I think from here on out, Virtual Console is going to be tied to things like that. And that, again, worries me and really makes me nervous, because I want to see stuff very similar to what we're seeing on Neo Geo on Virtual Console and Switch right now.
Totally.
Where you have like online leaderboards, there's, you know, the ability to customize everything, play in multiple languages. I want that for Virtual Console for mainline Nintendo games. And it seems like we're not going to get that. And right now, it doesn't even seem like we're going to get Virtual Console in the same way that we had it on Wii and on Wii U. I think Virtual Console is a whole different ballgame this time around.
Totally.
Yeah, I'm kind of hoping that the Virtual Console isn't always tied to something physical, just because by nature of Virtual Console in the past, scarcity didn't exist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and now we're not only throwing a form of, you know, just putting it on a physical, it gives it a form of scarcity, but then each of these is always a limited run, so yeah, scalpers win. And yeah. I don't want scalpers to win on Virtual Console.
Well, one of the things that this article talks about that didn't get brought up is that Nintendo has also said that they are considering or even talking about the possibility of these the Virtual Console games being some kind of download or card that are actually sold in retail stores. But, you know, like a package software is what they say, or download cards. But it says that the actual quote is, if we were to start selling products like this in the future, I think we would have to first consider whether we can establish that kind of business model. So in other words, they want to know that if they're going to produce a some kind of like almost like what we've been talking about, like maybe a cartridge version for the Switch of the Super Nintendo Classic. They want to know that the market's going to be there.
Oh,
well, to be fair, I mean, in Japan, download cards are huge for Switch games, and they're actually included within the Media Create sales every week. Whereas I don't really think that's that big in North America. I don't think they have download cards for like ARMS and Splatoon 2 and things that you could buy in store, right? You get those pre-order cards at Target, but I don't think they actually have like
the only thing that I've seen is at Walmart yesterday. I saw there's a download card for the new expansion for Zelda.
I've seen them at Walmart as well for Pokemon Sun and Moon. I've seen those download cards before. I don't know if maybe it's up here that they're a little bit more common, but I have seen them for some of the big headline games too. So I don't know. It's it's an interesting piece. Roger, just to kind of add on to your crazy prediction here that I am going to jump on anyways. I think another possibility is, I definitely think that it would be really smart for them to go back to the regions of like Gen 1 or Gen 2 even.
Right. Right.
But then also the end, spoiler alert for Pokemon Sun and Moon here, but that game ends with one of the characters heading to Kanto, right? And so that would be a really cool sort of, you know, we can pick up on some old characters, catch up with them from Red and Blue, you know, Gen 1 or Gen 2 even. I think it would be smart to, even if it is going to be a Switch game, have it be all like a sequel to Gen 2 where you've got both
regions. I really want to hop on something you just said.
Yeah.
Because this is another reason why I totally believe we're going back to Kanto for the next game, is I don't think they'd put more than two regions. I don't think it would be a sequel to Gold and Silver. I think it would be a sequel to Red and Blue specifically, but it would be technically also a sequel to Sun and Moon.
Right.
Because it would be far after the events of like that certain character leaving to go to Kanto.
She could end up being like
all
of
Sun and Moon, beyond even the stuff with that character, there are allusions to other characters having family ties to Kanto.
Yeah.
And that was a whole big thing about it. And you know, with Alola, they have the Alolan forms. And clearly that was very successful for Nintendo and for Pokemon, both from a merchandise standpoint with like Alolan Vulpix and all these cute little versions of characters that are already beloved. But it was also really a good a good way to leverage these Pokemon that were really underused in the competitive metagame and bring them back in a competitive play. Now you're seeing Marowak all over the place and Raichus. I mean, the Pokemon World Champion, not Worlds, the Pokemon National Championships were happening last week. And a lot of those older Pokemon that really weren't getting a lot of love were getting love and playability via those new Alolan forms. And the other idea that I've seen thrown around out there a lot, especially in regards to a new game in Kanto, is that maybe these new games would have the full Pokedex of all the other generations. It would just be in Kanto, in the future of Kanto, past Sun and Moon, and as a direct sequel to those original games, they would have all the assets for the most popular characters, which would be Gen 1, alongside all of the actual Pokemon. And potentially we would get Kantonian versions of Alola Pokemon.
Oh, that'd be cool.
So Pokemon that were introduced in Sun and Moon, you would see basically Kantonian versions of those Pokemon. So like Kantonian Rowlet or Kantonian Litten or some of the, I don't know, name some of the other Sun and Moon Pokemon.
Brain hurts.
Rockruff
would definitely get one. Yeah, Rockruff would get a Kantonian form.
Yeah. Nice. Right on.
I don't even know. Ow.
Let's do it. Bring it on. Very cool.
I was talking a little bit with my son this morning about Pokemon, and he kind of agrees with me that we hope that in a future game they do have a throwback to Kanto because of that character who got shipped off.
Yeah. Oh, well, they teased it, right? Like, that's totally what that was a tease to the future games. So,
The other character even mentioned that his father is a prominent trainer in Kanto. Yeah. Near the end of the game as well. So, yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Well, I'm trying to remember which one that is. Which character was that?
I could say it, but I don't want to spoil people.
Okay. All right. Never mind then. Very cool. So, Virtual Console. I don't know. It seems like the internet is becoming more and more angsty about Virtual Console. Like, is this actually like, it should be here by now. Like, Nintendo hasn't said anything, and I think the thing that makes people worried is that Nintendo has not said anything about it other than the SNES Classic. And so that's where we're like, okay, well, I guess they're just only going to make these friggin' classic things now and not actually make real stuff or make them available for.
But I think the angst comes from the inability to find it. It doesn't come from the fact that it's being made. I think it's the frustration. I think it comes from the anxiety of, oh my God, are pre-orders going to go up or not? And if they do, am I going to have time to get one?
Well, and the thing is, like for me at least, it's the anxiety is coming for both, right?
And
like,
do we believe that the FCC is the reason why they're not for pre-orders?
No,
yeah.
Absolutely not.
Well, and like I just don't understand. I still really don't understand why. I just do not want to be stuck to only be able to play retro games on a classic and not be able to play it on my Switch. Like, that seems silly to me that I would not have the virtual console library available to me on my Switch, that to be able to buy them a la carte piecemeal. It just seems weird to me. Like, Nintendo has trained all of their most loyal customers to expect something like that, and then to have them basically turn around and say, you know what, I don't know if we're actually going to do that. That feels really, it doesn't feel good.
Yeah, and part of the hesitation from Nintendo this time is everyone's hopes and desires that this be tied to an account, and it's the last time we actually have to throw money at this.
Yeah,
they like that we throw money at it every time.
Which makes me,
now that we're getting sick of it, they're kind of,
yeah, maybe they're just gonna let this
back on the reins.
They're just gonna let
the crazy part about it is I've flip-flopped. Now I'm at the point where I'm like, please let me throw money at you. I would love to be able to play those games on my Switch. I'll buy them again if I have to.
Yeah, but then you can't, I don't know, I'd feel it. Okay, what it actually feels like is that they are holding the virtual console library hostage until this classics fad runs its course. That's honestly like, well, we can't do both, so we're gonna improve our profits and our, you know, the sales of the SNES Classic by only having the SNES games available through that, and then once that has gone off, then we can, you know, then they'll move on. I don't know.
I will say though, beyond SNES, NES, and Game Boy, beyond those three, I actually don't think we're going to get many more classic type
either.
Series.
Like, I don't
think we're going to get like a GameCube classic or an N64 classic anytime soon. I think it's mostly, I think those games will actually be on Nintendo Switch Virtual Console.
Agreed.
I think they have, and I think the NES and Super Nintendo games, especially considering the fact that Nintendo has already highlighted those games are part of that new program with the online where they're going to have added multiplayer. I think that's going to be the push to actually get those games on the Switch, is that you'll be able to play them on your Switch if you're part of the online service, and they'll have additional features that are not in the SNES classic versions of those games, right? Like Mario, Super Mario Brothers 3 is one of the games I think they already announced for the Switch online thing, where you're going to be able to play online with people and your friends, which is really cool. But that's already in NES classic, right? And so that's a different reason to have that game again, as opposed to just re-releasing the exact same version like they already did on Wii and on Wii U, and even in some cases on 3DS.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how these things go. But anyway, I'm just looking at the rest of this stuff here. I do want to give enough time for you, Roger, to be able to talk about yourself. So maybe we'll just jump into what we've been playing. Is there any concerns about that? Or let's just do it. All right, let's do it.
Let's do it.
All right. So, Roger, you went to E3.
I did.
And you've been playing a bunch of other stuff too, but why don't you talk to us a little bit first about E3? How was that for you?
So I saw a lot of people complaining, saying that, oh, it's open to the public now. It was way too crowded. And actually, having just gone to Anime Expo this past weekend, I can safely say E3 was nowhere near as crowded as Anime Expo. The lines to play certain games were incredibly long, but for people who are media who are going anyway, most media people just make media appointments. So if there was something you wanted to play, you make a media appointment and you go play it. That said, if there was something that was announced at the show that you couldn't make a media appointment for with like a third party, and you had to wait in line, then some of those lines were pretty exhausting. Some lines lasted like 3 hours, 4 hours.
Yeah, I saw on Twitter a lot of people complaining and posting pictures of the lines into Day Zero Anime Expo.
And oh, God.
This was in the same building, right?
The same building. Yeah, LA Convention Center.
So I put out a tweet that said, you know, E3, watch me make people stand in lines when they should be working. Anime Expo, hold my beer.
I mean, that's the best way to put it. E3, I feel, even though it was open to the public, I loved one thing they did, which is that so many of the booths had really cool photo op opportunities this year. That's existed at the booths ever since, as long as I've been going there. There have always been some really cool booth displays, but it's like all of the developers turned it up to 11 this year. There were giant dragons you could sit on top of. They had like the Raving Rabbids had a giant standee outside that was the big Donkey Kong rabbit that you could like fall into the hands of. There was just some really cool photo op opportunities. And Nintendo's booth was really cool this year too, with the whole new Donk City layout. But the secret best thing about the Nintendo booth that nobody knew about was that people were waiting in line for hours to try to play Mario Odyssey. However, if you chose to play Mario Odyssey instead of on a TV, if you chose to play on the handheld, the line was only about 25 to 30 minutes. It was significantly shorter. And so you could go through multiple times and play the game if you just stood in the handheld line. But people didn't want to. They wanted to get like the specialty visors, so they waited and played it on the TVs, which I mean, hey, more power to them. But if you wanted to play through more of the game, you could just go in the smaller line.
Swag wins.
That's awesome. Nice. So tell us about what were some of the standout games for you?
So I actually did not play a ton. I played the things that were at Nintendo's booth that were playable during my media appointment. So I'll bring up that stuff first. I played Fire Emblem Warriors, which was a lot of fun. If you like Hyrule Warriors and you like Fire Emblem, you're going to like Fire Emblem Warriors.
There's just a new trailer for that came out this like today, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm disappointed the trailer did not yet reveal Camilla, who is best waifu from Fire Emblem Fates.
Well, this
I'm
one
waiting
was,
for her to officially be confirmed.
Well, this trailer was basically it seemed like it was the opening cinematic from Fire Emblem Awakening, like almost shot for shot, except they replaced Robin with those two new characters, whatever their names
which
are.
Which concerns me because Xander, Ryoma, and Corrin, female Corrin, were all playable in the demo that was at E3. And I was like, okay, where is Camilla? If those are the only Fates characters, this isn't sitting with me right. I need to be able to play as Camilla.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think honestly, like, my sense is because they basically are focusing on three games, right? They're focusing on Fates, Awakening, and whatever, Shadow Dragon, is that what it's called? The original?
Oh yeah, the original. Okay, yeah.
So my guess is that it's gonna be very similar to Hyrule Warriors, where it was like where it's basically starts out in one universe and then they go through and then, you know, multiple different universes all kind of come together and you know, that sort of thing. I don't know how I feel about the whole prospect of this game. It looks fun. I loved Hyrule Warriors. Actually, I loved Hyrule Warriors Legends and then learned to love Hyrule Warriors on the Wii U. I tried it on the Wii U and I played through the campaign, and something about having it handheld made me sink my teeth into it a whole lot more. So I don't know.
That's interesting. That's interesting, considering the fact so many people disliked that version of the game.
I know. It was weird. Was
that the fast travel help?
The fast travel, the switching of the the people characters.
So actually, that's something that carried over from Legends into the new game. You could switch at any point to whatever other heroes you've already like unlocked.
Yeah.
So during the main demo, I was playing as one of those two twins, and then at one point, I ran into Korin, or Kamui, because Kamui is the Japanese name of Korin. But I ran into Korin, and then I was able to actually switch to her and play as her throughout the rest of the demo, which was really nice.
Okay, cool. So you like that one. What else did you play?
Like that, I played Mario and Rabbids, which is literally XCOM, but it's just like a fun, family-friendly version of it. I really enjoyed that. I played, Mario and Rabbids, Fire Emblem Warrior. Oh, Pokken Tournament. So I played Pokken Tournament Deluxe. I played with Decidueye, who's sort of a fun mix of like a long-range character and a rushdown character, so I liked him.
Cool.
And then, of course, I played a lot of Mario Odyssey. I was able to play an hour of it during my media appointment, and then I was able to play both of the areas again on the show floor by just going in the quick 15-20-minute handheld line near the end of the show on day three, because everybody was like in line to get the TV because they wanted to get the swag. And right. At that point, I was like, I already had my media appointment, so I got all the swag, and I was like, I'm gonna go back in line and play it on the handheld, and it was great. So
nice.
Ask me anything about Mario Odyssey, I've sunk my teeth into
a lot
of that.
Yeah. How much have you played? Like, what areas did you get to play?
The Sand Kingdom and the New Donk City area.
Okay, and. Like, did you get a sense for the number of, like, because I think a big part of this obviously is the different captures or whatever, like, but also the costumes. Like, I guess the thing for me is, like, how many costumes, did you get a sense of how many costumes there were per area or per world?
So this is the funny thing, is everybody in the E3 demo, everybody was trying out the costumes, and I had been warned previously by Andre from Game Explain to not spend your coins on costumes.
Oh, really?
Yes, because in the demo, most of the moons that were actually in the demo, you could get without costumes. There were more costumed ones in the Sand Kingdom area than in the New Donk City area. And so when I played through New Donk City during my media appointment, I made a point to rush to get to all of the different moons first. And then I got to play it with the costumes when I played it on the handheld mode outside of the media appointment. But I wanted to see how many moons I could potentially get when playing it during the media appointment. And I ended up getting every moon that was in the New Donk City demo during my media appointment, which I thought was kind of cool. And I caught all on video, which is great.
Nice.
Wow.
Right on. So
I didn't have as much experience with the costumes in New Donk City as I did like with the cool little costumes that were in the Sand Kingdom area. But at the same time, in the Sand Kingdom area, I spent most of my time exploring as one of those moe heads, because you could like basically you could become one of the moe heads. Then when you put on sunglasses, the sunglasses basically acted as the lens of truth from Zelda, where it would show you like hidden platforms, hidden blocks. And so I'd be exploring the area with the moe head. And then I realized, oh my gosh, I used up all of my time during the demo to just walk around as this fun little moe head enemy.
That's awesome. So what sort of like, what was your favorite part of the, like, cause it definitely seems like Odyssey is taking cues from Breath of the Wild as far as like big open sort of, you know, like they're similar in that way. Can you speak to that? Like, how was the general sort of feel? What makes it like, what makes this the best Mario game ever made? Because that's what totally what it looks like.
So, well, it plays like it, I'll tell you. I think one of the big things about it is that, remember how in Mario 64, you would go in and you would choose a star and you'd go to that mission, and sometimes you would get a different star, even if you went in for a certain star, but it would kick you out of the area and you'd have to jump back in through the painting?
Yeah.
And actually, I think Delfino did that too, right? In Mario Sunshine, or could you continue on through the level after getting a shine?
I think it did too.
Okay, this one doesn't.
Oh, nice.
So you get a moon and you go right back to where you were. In some occasions, if the moon was like hidden on the map, you would actually continue straight from there. Or in the situations like in New Donk City where you had to get musicians, it would kick you back to the area where the musicians needed to gather. But on the whole, you did not get kicked out of the world every time you got a moon. So it really did feel like you would just like find something, explore, and then go right back to what you were doing. Sort of like on Breath of the Wild, you find a shrine, you play that shrine, and then you're kicked back right to the main overworld, and you could just explore a little bit more. So yeah, I mean, I noticed that a lot. And I think the thing too, a lot of people mentioned their favorite part of the demo was the Sand Kingdom area. And while I enjoyed it, I actually really preferred the time I spent in New Donk City, because that sort of level of verticality with the platforming is something we haven't really seen in Mario games for a while. I think the last time I could think about that was something like the Buoy base from the Mario Galaxy games. Mm. And yeah, in New Donk City, being able to like hop up all of these skyscrapers, jump off buildings, leap, you know, onto these electrical cords and become this electrified version of Mario, it was just really a different feeling type of Mario level, and something that I greatly appreciated.
That's super cool. Yeah, I'm really excited about that. That's man, this game, like, I feel, and it's crazy to me that it's coming out so soon. Like, I was expecting it to be like a holiday game, and it's coming out like the end of October. Like, it just feels like it's right around the corner. It's a super exciting. Do you guys have any other questions about that one before we go on to Marty or Jesse? Do you have any other questions?
No, I'm good.
Okay. All right. What else? What else we got? We got, do you get to play Metroid Prime 4? No, I'm just kidding.
No. And actually, I was told that I was going to be one of a select few group of people who got to play Samus Returns.
Yeah.
And then when I actually got to my media appointment, they were like, oh, sorry, we ushered in somebody else to play it. And I was like, oh, well, that sucks. That's fine. Because I was playing Salmon Run a lot. I was playing Salmon Run with the Treehouse guys. And I was sort of sitting around playing Salmon Run, and I missed out being able to play Samus Returns. But funny story is I found out who was snuck in during the time slot that I was supposed to be playing it was John Ricciardi, who is a member of the 8-4 Play podcast. They're a localization office that's out of Tokyo that works on a lot of the Fire Emblem games and stuff like that. They had mentioned on their E3 episode, their post E3 episode, that while John was in the booth, he was sort of ushered in somebody else's time slot to play Metroid Samus Returns, because that person was playing another game, chose to play another game. That person was me.
Oh.
That's kind of funny. I was like, oh, John, and John's a friend of mine on Facebook. So I was like, he's the one who actually got to play Samus Returns. That kind of sucks. But
that game looks Salmon so Run, good, man.
Salmon Run, the survival mode that I played with Corey from Treehouse and with Jose from IGN, who's actually now part of Treehouse. And I think Danny Orihula played it with me from Treehouse as well. We were all playing on the 100% mode of Salmon Run, and it was just an absolute blast. It was mayhem. There were all those weird little chum area enemies like running up trying to kill you, and it was frantic, and it was just – it was a blast. And it really makes me hope that there is an online mode, maybe a custom mode of Salmon Run that you could play at all times, because it really is a lot of fun.
Yeah, it looks so good. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to – I don't know. I'm so torn about that game, man. Like, I want to be excited about it. The direct tomorrow, I hope, will reignite my excitement about that game. Yeah. I'm actually looking at Nintendo's website. I do want to mention one thing that I thought was really funny is I was on Twitter on the day, I think it was the second or third day. Basically, I see Bill Trinan announce or say something like, hey, if you guys are on, you guys should totally be looking at this live stream right now. And then almost immediately afterwards, you were like, I'm booking it over there to the thing to like, and it turned out that they announced this Sushi Striker game.
Yeah.
That was a bit of a,
so let me explain the story behind that first. So what happened was, the day of the direct, when the E3 spotlight happened, Bill Trinan posted out right before the direct happened that it was only going to focus on 2017 games and that it was going to focus on titles releasing this year. And he had put that out there, and Trinan's known to be a troll on Twitter. And obviously, during that showcase, we got the announcement of Metroid Prime 4, a mainline Pokemon game on Switch, Yoshi, Kirby, Rocket League. There was a lot of stuff that was announced that is not coming out for a while. Well, actually, Rocket League is this year, but those other games were not. And so when he tweeted out, hey, you guys should be watching the Treehouse Live right now, there's a little game that I think you guys might be interested in, that is when all of us on the show floor expected that Smash Brothers trailer to drop. Because it was right after one of the invitationals. I think it was the ARMS or the Pokemon Invitational. It was one of the two. And so it made sense now that they were done with all of the other invitationals for the fighting games that, of course, they would show off Smash Brothers then. And so a lot of us booked it, and I was there with D1, who's obviously a pretty big Smash Brothers commentator. He was like one of the people on the main stage. And I talked to him earlier, along with a couple other Smash Brothers friends on the show floor, like, hey, maybe there's going to be some big announcements later during the day. So then when D1 was on stage and Bill made that announcement, I was like, oh, it's time. It's going to be Smash Brothers. It's time. So we booked it over there. And then, yeah, Treehouse Live, which was situated on a stage above where the Invitational stage was, they ended up showing off Sushi Striker. And so that was a pretty big disappointment.
You were like, oh, like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. That game, I'm not even going to pretend to be excited about that.
I mean, it does look cute. And it's from the developers of Theatrhythm. And those games are great. So I will give it a chance. But Trinan trolled us for sure.
Yeah, that was a big Trin troll. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Nice. Right on. Anything else that you want to talk about for just your general sort of stuff for E3 and
things? Yeah, I played gotta think of the other games I played. I played Destiny 2 on PC. I'm a really big Destiny fan, so I was excited to play that. Apparently the lines for that were super long, but I just like asked one of the Activision people and I was like, hey, could I get in line? They were like, oh, you're an influencer, come on through. And I was like, oh, cool. And I bring that up because that seemed to be a trend at this year's show, not only like on the show floor, but also during a lot of the press conferences, is they brought out, sometimes during really cringy moments, YouTubers. There was a big focus on YouTubers and content creators.
EA's was terrible. Yeah,
EA's was filled with stuff like that. And I say this as somebody who is a content creator, and you guys too. You know, we have YouTube channels, and yet it was weird seeing YouTubers and content creators and influencers being sort of the main push at this E3. That was a little bizarre.
Yeah.
And then I played a game called Ooblets, which is sort of a mix. I think it's called Ooblets. It's a mix of sort of Animal Crossing, Harvest Moon, and Pokemon. And I think it's produced by Double Fine. Do you guys know the game I'm talking about?
No, I've never heard of this.
Okay, look it up. I won't say anything else. There's just little talking vegetables, and it's really cute. Ooblets. And then I also played a game that is not Splatoon, but felt like Splatoon a lot if Splatoon didn't have Inkling kids and instead had anime girls with giant boobs and big butts that you would shoot the bikinis off of. And so I got to play Senran Kagura Peach Beach Splash at the I think it was the Atlas booth, the NCIS America booth, or whatever booth that game. Oh, Xseed! It was Xseed's booth.
Of course it was.
Yeah, that was a PS4 game, but they said that Senran Kagura is coming to Nintendo Switch, so I'm assuming that game will come to Switch at some point. And it was actually surprisingly a lot of fun because it literally was just Splatoon but with anime girls. So I had a blast playing that, and that was sort of my surprise hit of the show. I didn't expect that game to be good, but it ended up being a lot of fun, and I kept coming back to it.
That's awesome! Wow, very. I don't know how to follow. I just looked up the trailer for Ooblets. Kind of reminds me of at least the art, the sort of like lots of little people following around, almost like Pikmin, but obviously the mechanics are totally different.
How do you spell the name of this game?
Ooblets.
Exclamation mark.
Yeah. And it's weird. I didn't have any issues during my demo, but I saw a lot of people online saying, and I could tell it was a really early build of the game, but people were saying online the demo kept crashing on them.
Oh, weird.
Because it was like an early alpha build of the game, basically. Even the people who were demoing it to me were like, just so you know, this is like very early in development, so the game might have some unexpected errors, but it actually played just fine when I got to check it out. So, yeah. Nice.
Very cool. Right on. Awesome. Have you been playing, I guess, I think the next thing that we can all kind of pitch in about, I don't know, Roger, how much you've played it, but Zelda DLC came out this week. And I am sucked back into Zelda like nothing. It's crazy. I have played through, I did the first like beginner trials or whatever, and then I got all the way to the end of the middle trials and died on the last boss, and I was like, screw this. And I started a master mode save, and I am in the first dungeon now. But holy crap, it is hard. It is so much harder. It's because,
so with master mode, can you, it's separate. Like, I could start a new master mode save separate and still save, be able to play the game.
In fact,
so it's not going to overwrite my main game.
In fact, there right, is, you can there still is go back no, to
the main game after.
Yeah, there is no way to activate master mode on your current save file. You have to start over. So
nice. That actually makes me happy then, because I specifically have not yet been playing master mode because I was scared to overwrite my old file.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically, if you're on the main opening stage or the title screen, I should say, there's now an option that says play in master mode or whatever, or switch to master mode. And it's like a totally different save file. And it's crazy because you
get that ominous red.
Yeah, you get the red screens. You get the red in the loading screen. it's really creepy. Just, you come out of the Shrine of Resurrection, like, and immediately there are two blue bokoblins, and you're like, oh crap! Like, you can't do anything. Like, you can't fight.
A wooden stick isn't gonna kill them.
Yeah, a wooden stick is not gonna kill them at all. So much of the early plateau is all like stealth. I was wandering around, and you know, there's that big field behind the Temple of Time where it's just kind of like this open field. I was wandering around, and there's a Lionel there now.
Oh no,
Silvermane Lionel.
Yeah, like it's not just a wimpy Lionel. It's a silver-maned Lionel, and you're like, oh geez. And yikes. there are floating platforms everywhere, and it's so interesting. Like, it is so interesting to play through it now, where before, like when I played through it, it seemed like every once in a while you would get a really good weapon that you would save for the time that you came up against a powerful enemy, but otherwise you could just brute force your way through the game. This is the master mode is not really like that. You really have to be careful and stealth around a lot more, and I really, really like it. It's fun. And I got all 120 shrines and beat the game in regular mode. I went and found all of the gear too, by the way, which some of it's cool, but I'm kind of like, oh, I wish I just would have had this when I played through the game the first time. Like, I don't, other than like the only additional content other than the additional items and hunting down all of those is a mode where they take away all of your items. So it doesn't really matter anyways, right? Like, it's not that. It's kind of a weird combination there, where the only thing that they give you is something that you're not going to get anyway, or that you're not going to be able to use in the other new content. So that's a little bit weird. But Master Mode is super fun, and I'm going to play the crap out of this again. I'm probably going to... I don't know if I'm going to end up getting all 120 shrines in Master Mode, but it's really, really fun, and I'm really enjoying it. The other thing I guess that I would mention is I really like that they have all of these floating platforms everywhere where you're I just was retracing my steps to find the journal to get the quest for all of the DLC gear in master mode. And so I teleported back to the Great Plateau Tower or whatever, and I was coasting, or I was gliding down and towards the, what is it, Outpost Ruins or something. And there's this huge, like, there's like three different wooden platforms suspended by balloons. And so you shoot one of the balloons and it knocks out the floor for one of them. And then this chest just falls to the ground, and you go, I ran and grab it. And it was a sweet sword that it's almost like the best gear in the game is suspended by these platforms. And sometimes you go and you grab that platform, or you shoot down you shoot the balloons on the platform to drop it, and it drops into like a river, like it happened to me before. And I was like, oh crap, now I got to go like fish this chest out of a river that's like super deep, and you have to be like right on top of it on an ice block in order to even fish it out with the magnesis. And I don't know. It's just, it's very, very challenging and fun, and really, really enjoying it. So I don't know. Anybody else playing the DLC?
I am. I've put a few hours into it. I mean, it got me back into Zelda where I wasn't playing it before, but I'm mainly concentrating on getting the costumes. And of course I'll do the Trial of the Sword eventually, but I want to get all of the little collectibles first. And then I never did get 120 shrines before beating it. So I'm going to go back, and I've gotten interested in doing those now. So I am using a walkthrough. I'm cheating, I guess. So
I did when I got all the shrines and stuff. So.
But it's at this point I have 39 left. It's like I've gone everywhere I want to go. You know, I mean, there's still parts of the game I want to see. I really think this is one of those games though that I'm going to play on and off in spurts. You know, mm-hmm. for maybe the life cycle of the Switch. But the DLC, I'm never going to play Master Mode. Somebody was like, "It was too easy before." I was not one of those people who thought it was too easy before. I'll take my chances with just regular mode. Thanks.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat there. I've never been a fan of the previous game's hero mode. Like, I tried, I think it was Ocarina of Time 3D. I think I tried its hero mode after beating it, and I, you know, two hits and you're dead. I don't think I could beat the first level.
Well,
the first dungeon.
The thing, yeah, well, I like the way that they do this a little bit better, though, whereas some of the previous ones, it was like, oh, well, you can't heal, and all enemies are double damage, and it was just a bunch of sliders. This one, because they actually just upgrade all of the enemies, it's just that all of the enemies are more threatening, but they're right, still...
Right, so all the physics is all the same, it's just...
The mechanics are exactly the same, yeah. It's just like you are deep in enemy territory immediately.
Yeah, I'm probably not going to deal with that, but yeah. But before the DSL released, I was going through a walkthrough and trying to catch all the shrines I missed. Like, I did finish up all of the shrine quests, and I think at the time the DLC hit, I was like 11 shrines short. So I did the first two sections of the Trial of the Sword at 26 hearts, and then I started the hard one, and I'm like, okay, I need more hearts. So the last 2 days I've been trying, you know, finishing off the 120, and actually found 120 just before we started recording. I took a picture of it and said I found it and haven't entered it yet. So when I do get that and turn in those orbs, I'll have 29 hearts, and then I'll probably go to that other statue and trade out part of my stamina wheel for the 40th heart. I said 29. I meant 39. But yeah, it's 40 hertz total, right? Or no, it is 30.
It's 50, I think it's 30. Yeah, yeah,
it's 30. Yeah. It's 15 by 2.
There's not enough shrines in order to completely fill your hearts and your stamina. So
yeah, I left my stamina too short of the third wheel, thinking that was that was enough to get all 30 hearts, but I overshot it by one. So I got to go back.
That's funny, because whenever I play Breath of the Wild, I maxed my stamina the first, like all the way. I maxed stamina all the way up, because you could climb up everything. It was easier to explore with that. And now I have all the shrines too. I just last week got all the 120 shrines as well. And it's my stamina wheel is maxed, and I'm missing however many hearts. You're still missing. I think it's like two or three.
It's three.
Yeah, it's three. What I think is probably going to happen is with the second DLC pack, that Champions pack, they're probably going to give you spirit orbs that will allow you to max out that.
Oh, full, that would be cool.
Those final three. Yeah.
I'd be down for that.
All right. So I did. When I did the middle level, it took me probably 10, 15 tries to get to the first safe room. But once I hit that first safe room, I was able to finish the rest of it in one shot.
Yeah, that's the first Master Sword trial, I was able to do that too. And then I actually have not yet unlocked the 50 and 60 potential yet, but I really want to do that. The first thing I did as soon as the DLC downloaded is I got the Korok mask. I knew that was important, so I just looked online where to get it. And I was like, oh, it's in the Lost Woods in a really easy area. And I grabbed it. And then I just started searching for Koroks, and that's all I've been doing.
Yeah, I think I picked up another 10 Koroks since then.
I think I have 120 shrines, and then I think I have 200 or 200 like six or seven Koroks. Wow. And so I really, really want to just explore and find a lot more Korok puzzles. That's my
I'm still under 130 when it comes to Korok seeds.
Oh, okay, cool. I mean, there's 800 of them or 900 or whatever.
900, so, yeah.
So there's lots of them for us to find still, Jesse.
So I've been running around with the Korok mask on, trying to find the last shrines. If I see it go off, I'll look for it. There was a few I couldn't find. Mm. But normally if it goes off, I'll... Then I came. One of the last shrines that I missed was like behind it was one of those prayer statues that was huge. I took a screenshot of that instead of that, put it on Twitter, and people are saying that that's the goddess statue from Skyward Sword fell.
Oh, the really big one.
Yeah,
it actually could be. That could be.
Interesting.
It would make sense to be.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's in the Forgotten Temple area or whatever? Isn't that what that area is called in the game?
Yeah, the one in the Forgotten Temple is gigantic.
Yeah, so that makes sense. That could be the goddess statue from Skyward Sword. Because the Forgotten Temple, I mean, it would make a lot of sense that that would be the one that was forgotten, was the very first one.
it was the Forgotten Temple, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. I like
that. So that's... That is the Zelda DLC. Any other thoughts on that before we move on, guys?
Wait, so, once I get up, I'm going to fill up my hearts, and then I'm going to go back and try to get that finish that trial of the sword.
Nice, very cool.
Good,
Marty. What have you been playing, dude? You've been playing we got a copy of a game for review, right?
Yeah. So we got a copy from Raw Fury of their new eShop game, Goner. Which actually isn't in the new game. It's new to the Nintendo family of systems, but it's been out on Steam before now. And Goner is really the best way I know to describe it is it's 2D Binding of Isaac without all the poop and, the offensive religious imagery. You play like this little blob guy who has he can get a skull and he wears it and it's a shooting game. Where the levels are procedurally generated and you go through and as you fight and as you kill these enemies, if you chain enough of them together, you get puzzle pieces. And the puzzle pieces are important for lots of reasons. Number one being that if you find a shopkeeper and you don't like his selection of wares, you can give him a puzzle piece and he'll swap them up. The other reason is if you die, which you will die and you will die often, and you will even die in like the first room of the game multiple times. If you have enough puzzle pieces, you can revive yourself and get all of your items back and start right from there. And so I've played a fair bit of it. I actually downloaded it last week when I was out of town and played it some. Some of the coolest music so far in an eShop title. In fact, just really in any game. I mean, it's really well done. And the attention to detail, like the game, the graphics look like, I don't know if you've ever seen those like black little boards where you can scratch on them and there's like color underneath.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. The whole game looks like that.
Nice.
And so
very
like,
cool.
As you're moving along the level is like being revealed around you. So like as you move, like what you've gone through will disappear behind you until you go back. And so the enemies are like all red and like glowing. So they kind of like color the walls and everything. It's a really super cool aesthetic. And it's nothing like you've seen before in a game. The only like issue that I have with the game is it is like, it's incredibly hard. And when I say it's incredibly hard, it's Tumbleseed hard. Which, I mean, you know, the creators of Tumbleseed just had to come out like a month or so ago and kind of write a postmortem on the game and be like, okay, we realize it's too
difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. But this, like, unlike Tumbleseed, Raw Fury and the creator of the game, like, just up front, they're like, you're going to die. You're going to die a lot. and it's going to teach you how to play this game. And eventually, once you die enough, you'll learn how to play the game and you'll do good.
And to be fair, and that's so what a Binding of Isaac is like too, right? Like, I remember when I first got that game, it was the exact same thing where I died.
Here's the difference. The difference between Isaac and Goner, though, is this. When you find an item in Goner, you're able to keep it and you're able to start the game with it.
All right, so I was going to ask, is this roguelike or is this just a little bit different? I guess it sounds like it's a different
it take is, on it. I mean, it's a different take on the roguelike. So, like, if the guns that I have, like, I have a kind of a machine gun type gun and I have a shotgun. And once you find those, even if you die, as soon as you touch them, you can get them back at the start of the game. And that comes – the only thing is that comes with a cost because, like – there's and the control scheme is weird. And let me talk about that before I finish. But I'll say this, like there's a button for attack. There's a button for jump and there's a button for special. And one of the special things that you get is the ability to refill your ammo anytime. It just like it has kind of a cooldown and then you could do it again. And then there's one that causes an explosion around you and there's a jetpack and all kinds of other stuff. The controls are really to me are off because the way it controls is your jump button is the A button, your attack button is X, and your special button is B. And so I'm constant and you can't change this. So I'm constantly pressing the B button to shoot when I would think that I would be using, like attacking, I actually end up using my special, and that leads to death as well. So again, you have
that was one of my biggest complaints with Star Fox Zero is you couldn't choose which button to shoot, and the controls were already confusing enough. So to hear that about this game is making me very concerned.
I mean, I see the comparison there, but like with the whole tilt thing and everything, you don't have that with this. So you're only managing three buttons, but still, it's enough off-putting that like. In the midst of a boss fight, if you press the wrong button, you're dead. You're dead immediately. Because too, when like you have life and the life that you have, the number of hearts that you have depends on the head that you choose. Mm. And so like there's one, like no matter what in the game, when you get hit, you drop all of your gear immediately. Mm. And so like you have to go and you have to actually touch it and pick it back up. So like the one other head that I've discovered so far, it instead of five hearts, you get three, and when you get hit, you don't drop your gear. But in a game like this where, one heart is really a big deal difference because of all because of the difficulty level, it's not an easy trade-off to trade two hearts for not dropping my equipment.
Mm-hmm. I want to try this out.
I think you should. I don't think it's all that expensive on the eShop. Again, we got our copy as a review copy. So I don't know. I think it's 10. It's $9.99. It's definitely worth the pickup if you like shooting games, if you like a 2D side-scrolling shooting game. I mean, like fans of Contra, I think, would really love it because there's not a lot of that out right now. Like Metal Slug fans, if you want to play something besides Metal Slug, it's that same genre. But understand, like, the levels are kind of self-contained. And, like, you come in on, like, this cat intestine thing. And it, like, poops you out at the front of the level. And then you jump in its mouth at the end of the level. And it takes you to the next part.
And each of the world disturbing.
Yeah, it's weird. But I mean, it fits the, like when you see it, you'll say, oh, okay. Cause it kind of fits the whole aesthetic of the game, but it's definitely like, I don't want our listeners to hear is to walk away and go, oh man, Goner, it's super hard. I shouldn't get it. No, I think you should get it. And I think you should get it and you should appreciate it as just, it's a really hard game. It's not a game that like, cause I mean, ultimately I think the thing is like at the end of like you die and it shows your score. Right. And I think it's, again, hearkening back to days where the score was what mattered, so get it and appreciate it as the difficulty it is and like play it for the ability to rack up a higher score than your buddies. And there is a daily challenge. Like every day there's a daily challenge that's different and you can only play it for 24 hours and it gives you a certain like random set of items. And so there's that, and leaderboards are coming soon. So they're going to continue to support the game. So I like it just because it's different. Like you don't, it's not,
It's not like some cute little pet. It's not, more Mighty Gunvolt. It's not this or that. It's just this weird dude with a skeleton head blowing up, snails and flying turds in something that looks like a scratch art thing. So should definitely go check it out. I highly recommend it, even though it's frustrating at times.
Cool. Yeah.
Right on.
Sounds cool to me.
Nice. Right on. Anything else that you want to talk about or?
Well, I've been playing Cave Story Plus. I was lured into buying it because of the physical package, because I wanted all the little knickknacks, and have really been enjoying it. Like I've never played Cave Story.
I'm so jealous of you.
Yeah.
If I never could go back and relive that game with a fresh set of eyes, man.
Yeah. I've never played it. So I'm really liking it. I finished the sand area today, which I think is like the third area that you find in the game. And I'm in the labyrinth right now, but the story is just completely engrossing already. And so I'm really enjoying it, and I'm glad I waited kind of to this version, because I think people are saying like it's like the definitive version of it or whatever.
For sure.
So, yeah, and so besides that, I've just been playing ARMS. I've just been playing a lot of ARMS online, and I'm addicted to ARMS. And I didn't think that even playing the first two Test Punches, I did not think it was going to be a game that was addictive to me. But like the fact that I could take my Switch with me, and anytime I could connect to a Wi-Fi connection, get in a few like online matches, and then go and turn those points into more ARMS. It's totally that's all I can think about playing online right now.
It is really addictive.
It's really good.
And the thing is that I love to do it, because when I go online, I don't play ranked because I'm terrible. Just full disclosure, but I go in and I go into a party mode, and I main Master Mummy. And people just don't know what to do, because everybody's used to Twintail and Ninjara.
Right. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So if you main anybody else, they really don't know what to do with you. So I'm good enough to like run party mode pretty good, but like I can't get past one on ranked.
Mm.
Yeah, that makes sense. I don't know. I haven't spent enough time in ranked. I only went in there like for 5 minutes the other day, and I was like, yeah, it's not my speed right now.
Wasn't doing it. I think I'm like rank level 4. I haven't played it a ton.
I'm at 4 too.
So it's when I first unlocked ranked, it was like I don't know if anybody, like if you've played any sort of ranked. I play Hearthstone a lot, and the first few days of any new season, like of any month, I just stay the heck out of any ranked match, because the really good people are ranking back up to wherever they should be. And so I feel like when I first started ranked mode, I was getting worked over even in like rank level 1. And then I waited like a week and a half and went back in, and I was like, oh, these guys are way easier now. Okay. All the really good people are no longer in my rank. So I think that maybe, I don't know, Marty, try in a couple of weeks and see then how you do. But,
well, I will say this, trying to main Master Mummy. I mean, I like him for his power, and I like him because I play him with a Megaton on one side and what is the Retorcher? The one that has like the three.
Yeah.
Like they three.
Yeah. Try torture.
So I play him like that. And I usually just use the Megaton to like lure people into the Retorcher. But like, if you play that way against like a good a halfway decent Ninjara player or Twintail, there's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
Like in ranked. Now in party mode, you never know what you're gonna get.
I play Kid Cobra mostly, and he's pretty fun. I really like him.
See, I've not had a problem. Like I was playing this match the other day where I was in like Kid Cobra's level against him, and I thought, God, this is gonna be a nightmare. I'm not gonna do anything. And I don't know if like the guy just didn't have any sense or didn't know how to play video games.
Yeah.
I think the trick to Kid Cobra's level is just to get on one of those discs, and the first person who gets on there first is usually the person who's got to win.
Oh yeah. Yeah, because he didn't get on a disc. I kept throwing
it. Yeah.
Phoenix is also saying the pros come out at night, so If you want to climb, if you want to climb the ranks, don't play at night. You got to play. You got to know when to play to climb the ranks.
Don't
play during the day while all the little elementary kids are on summer vacation and beat the crap out of them.
Yeah. in other words, don't play Phoenix.
Yeah.
dude's like rank 8.
Holy
or
crap,
9.
Dude. Nice.
Which is a very impressive accomplishment.
That is very.
Hats off.
Right on, dude. Cool. What, anything else you've been playing, dude?
No, that's it. I mean, Zelda DLC. Cool. I'm about to start, a replay of Super Mario World.
Oh, nice. Fun.
Oh, that's right. We should tell people about that. Are we doing that next week? I think tentative.
I think that's the plan. Yeah.
That's our tentative plan for
next
now.
Next week or the week after, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh yeah. Guys, you're not here next week. Yeah.
So maybe the week after. What we're going to do, Retro Rewind. We finally are getting around to Super Mario World. And so if you are out there and you'd like to join us either on Wii U or,
3DS
or even on the original SNES, we're going to play through Super Mario World. And, in a couple weeks, we're going to give our reactions on that. And just talk about some fun things from Super Mario World.
I'll try to stream my playthrough when I get around to trying it.
Maybe I'll include the story of how I had an entire folder in sixth grade of drawings and designs for Super Mario World 2.
What? Oh my
gosh!
Yeah,
I thought that I was me and a friend thought that we were going to create Super Mario World 2, and Nintendo was going to hire us.
Oh my gosh! Do you still have this?
Probably not.
That'd be amazing.
It would be, but, it basically revolved around, like different colored Yoshis that had not been introduced yet.
Cool. I like
it. Very cool.
I like it. I'm looking forward to it. What looks apparently,
yes.
I'm just saying.
I was just going to bring this up. I put it in the chat because I didn't know if you guys saw this. Literally, while you're recording, Platinum Games tweeted out a picture of the wonderful 101 characters from late in the game and a couple other characters that are designed like the wonderful 101 characters that look like the director of the game and the sound designer for the game.
And they're playing a Switch.
They're playing Wonderful 101, or what appears to be a Wonderful 101 type game on the Switch. Yeah.
Oh my gosh,
can we just,
dude.
Before we lose it over that, can we talk about the Famicom colored Joy-Cons they're holding?
I want them so badly.
Oh my
gosh.
I totally would play this. I would totally play this. I played the demo of this, but I never played the actual game. I would play it on.
I had the actual game.
They've also,
could also notice if you look
for Christmas.
If you look at the far back at the Switch dock, on the picture as well, it looks like the Switch dock has an NES cover too.
That's awesome. I would totally, they've also been teasing Bayonetta for Switch too, haven't they?
They have. Yeah, they have. So, I wonder if there's getting them direct anytime soon.
Oh, that'd be so cool. I would.
Didn't they do that for Bayonetta 2?
Yeah, they did.
I can see them doing a Platinum Direct and announcing Bayonetta.
I think
and,
they also
Wonderful
did
One.
For Wonderful 101, actually.
Yeah.
Platinum Selects.
Yeah, Platinum Selects for Switch, dude. I'd buy it day one.
I'd do it, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right on. Very cool. Jesse, do you have anything else you've been playing, dude?
No, the Zelda DLC pretty much has been all I've been playing this week.
Very cool. Right on. And, okay, did anybody look at our emails? Or what do we got for that? I don't know if we got any emails this week, did we?
We don't have any messages right now.
No, okay. Well, with that, then before we head out, let's. You're not going to believe this, but my phone just died, and that's my soundboard. So, I'm going to have to put the sound in post. That's fine. So, any other thoughts or anything that we need to cover, Roger? Where do people find you online, dude?
Sure, you can find me at Rogersbase, RogersBase, on Twitter, on Instagram, and of course on YouTube, where I make videos regarding anime and Nintendo.
Right on, dude. And if you guys aren't following him, what the heck are you doing? Just cut it out and go right now. it's a good time. Right on. So we appreciate you being on the show, dude. It's awesome having you around.
Always happy to be on. Always. I was going to be on for the pre-E3 episode, and then I wasn't able to do it because I had some other recording thing that I had to do. So I'm happy that I'm actually on now.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a I don't know. It's been a long time, so it's awesome to have you back. Anytime you want to be around, you know, you're always, when you hear your family, that's,
thank you.
So,
I love God.
Yeah. right on. Cool. So any questions from the chat before I'm noticing this is kind of a shorter show, but that's, we kind of said that this was going to be, there wasn't a whole lot of news. So, I don't think so. Right on. Well, as we were saying before, I actually did find some music. You guys won't be able to hear it, but at least I won't have to go hunt it down in post. So that will be nice. But yeah, so this is, of course, as we wrap up the show here, we want to remind everybody to go over to patreon.com/NintendoDads to support the show. And, you know, we got some new patrons this week. And, of course, go over to twitter.com/NintendoDads to get into our contest. The contest is something that is really fun and exciting, and we're doing that for this week and all of next week as well. So get in there, win some swag, and yeah, you guys are awesome. Of course, if you want to follow us on all of the social medias, you can do so on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at Nintendo Dads. Roger, where do people find you? Where do we follow you? What are your stuff?
Roger's Base, same as before.
Roger's Base, right on. Thanks for being on the show, dude. Of course, if you want to email us, I know I've said that like 4 times. If you want to email us, you can do so at nintendodads@gmail.com. If you want to get all of our videos, you can do so on Twitch, Facebook, or Twitch or YouTube. Just look for Nintendo Dads, you'll find us. Call in and leave us a voicemail at 929-25-NDADS. That's 929-256-3237. Huge thanks to OC Remix for our music throughout the show, as well as to Carter Johnson and Adam Leonard for our amazing artwork. I'm falling all over my words tonight. And of course, if you want to change the world, which I know that you do, go over to iTunes, leave us a 5-star review. Written reviews are even better. And if you want to subscribe to the show, you can do so on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and of course, VGTribune.com. For me, for Jesse, for Marty, and for Roger, we will see you next week. Bye-bye.